Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by your friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. We know how much you treasure those moments down at Walt Disney World or even out at Disneyland or, hey, sailing with the Disney Cruise Line. They are some of the best memories you'll make in your lifetime. And you want to trust those memories to a passionate professional agent, such as those over at the Magic for Less. They are Disney fans themselves, but they're also experts to make sure that you get the most out of that vacation. You dream about it for a long, long time, and that agent's going to work so hard for you on your behalf to make sure you get everything that you're expecting and more. So check them out today. There's lots of great specials for early 2017 down at Walt Disney World. There's some Disneyland specials as well. And when you book a cruise with the Magic for Less Travel on the Disney Cruise Line, you can get up to a 5% onboard credit right there that spins just like cash. Check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at AmeriprizeAdvisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1092 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com, where if you're missing Walt Disney World like I am, just type that into your browser. Well, don't do it right now because you're listening to the podcast. You can only listen to one thing at a time. But as soon as the show's over, just type in MagicalMouseRadio.com. Great tunes, I guarantee you, 24/7. And it helps cure those Disney blues. And speaking of the Disney blues, the best way to get over your most recent trip is to reminisce. That's for Scott. Play a little River Band reminiscing as you listen to the background of this show today and also get excited for your next trip. So today we're going to take a look back on the wine and dine festivities from last weekend with my good friend Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
I think I'm still catching up on all my sleep. So it's nap time. No.
It's one that week after a Run Disney weekend is just a brutal stretch.
It is. It's very hard. It's hard to get back on the schedule. And then, of course, you know, we had daylight savings time thrown in as well. So everything's all cattywampus.
Yeah. Did it get dark like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon this week or what happened? I mean, is it getting dark like on my plan period at school? It's crazy. You know,
that was not fun.
I was all excited to have that extra hour of sleep on Saturday night before the half marathon, but you know, I want that every night. I just don't want that
right.
One night.
And and I don't want this. I don't want the dark at, you know, 3:30. No.
And when you're getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, who cares? I mean, at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, it's still like getting punched right in the nose when you get up.
So. Absolutely, it is. Yes.
All right. Also joining us, we have Hannah Forrester from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, sitting in at Mission Control for her mother, Pam. How's it going, Hannah?
It's going good.
Any big plans for the weekend while the family's out in international waters?
Learning how to perfect my IEP. That's really it.
Oh man,
the
exciting parts of education, man. You go into it for stuff for the paperwork.
Oh yes, that's all we're learning this week as we wind down before field is how to do all your paperwork.
That's true.
That's fun.
Super important though because that's how the kids get exactly what they need. So. Good for you going in there and helping out the kids that need it the most. That I, you know, being in education now for 18 years, I appreciate folks like you who are coming in to replace us old curmudgeons and bring the spirit back to teaching, because I've been doing it too long.
I told you this weekend I will gladly step in for you the second you're getting tired of your job.
Oh, I'm saying,
I think he's already there. No. So
I'm very close. Let me get my key off my ring here. Anyway, today we're going to spend a little time talking about the events of the Wine and Dine weekend. It's going to kind of be random. Of course, we're not going to hit everything. And when Pam gets back, we'll reminisce a little bit more and get her thoughts on things. But I kind of wanted to start off with going chronologically. I got down there on late Wednesday night. There was some storms that delayed some flights out of the Midwest. It was kind of crazy how some people got delayed. My good buddy Scott spent about 24 hours trying to get down there. He went through New Jersey and Chicago, and the Cubs won the World Series, so I was scared to death on my airplane. It's something, you know, when something unnatural happens, like the Cubs win the World Series, you know, you think like the laws of gravity may stop, or, you know, flight dynamics, like you might start losing your lift on your plane. Because I never thought the Cubs would win the World Series. Ricky, can you believe it? I mean, no. did Cubs fans this whole weekend, like, did they like spawn, like, you know, had gremlins? Yes. Like if you get them wet, like all of a sudden there's
Brian
more of them.
Actually said the same thing. He was like, I've never seen so many Cubs fans in my entire life. I said, nope, me neither, not even living in St. Louis and at Cardinal Cubs games. I don't think we've seen that many Cubs fans. So
yeah, I just kept picturing that scene from the Gremlins where they're like, don't get him wet, and like he gets wet and like all of a sudden he starts like popping off these balls of fur and like they turn into these mean little I don't know, gremlins or whatever they are.
Wow, Mike's going to lose a bunch of listeners now. Thanks a lot, Mike.
I'm just playing. But they were everywhere. It's like your worst nightmare if you're a Cubs fan.
Good job, Mike.
I'm just kidding. You know what? Every 108 years, we're cool with the Cubs winning the World Series. You know, it's fine. I forget who I told down there. I said, you know, it's fun. You get to live like a Cardinals fan for a little while. We're used to winning World Series.
Exactly.
Just kidding. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just joking. We have a fun rivalry. We're not too mean. You know, and well, one of the things that happened over the weekend was the Cubs had a parade for three of their players, and our good friend David went over and saw the parade. And he, you know, I assumed that it was going to be a nut house over at the Magic Kingdom, yes, which I think it was around the hub and around Main Street. But he said he walked up kind of last minute and got about the third person deep on Main Street. And I watched his video, man. He was right up there as that car slowly went down Main Street. So, Ricky, what were you hearing about the impromptu Cubs parade at the Magic Kingdom? I think that was on Saturday, I think.
It was on Saturday, and my thought was avoid at all costs.
Yes, I almost you know what? When I heard the Cubs were coming to Walt Disney World, I almost went to Universal. I'm just saying.
Right. I did go to Universal, so it's all good. Yeah.
That tells you something.
Yeah. I was thinking about going to the Magic Kingdom that night, and then I heard the Cubs were coming, and I was like, maybe not. And that was mostly because I didn't want to deal with the crowds that I thought would be there. Although it was a last minute thing. I don't think that as many people showed up as if they had given it a day of announcement. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think if they would have said the day before or 2 days before, hey, guess what? The Cubs are coming. Like, come cheer them on in this little mini parade or whatever, I think that there would have been way more people. So I think because it was really a last minute decision, and I mean, I think they announced it that morning and they were like, yeah, guess what? Some Cubs players are coming. I think that it didn't get the traction that, you know, it might have gotten otherwise. Yeah, it was still busy.
Yeah, it was busy. But it was busy everywhere that night, and we'll get to that.
Oh, I said we're gonna go busy everywhere the whole trip.
Oh, man, it was busy. Yeah, you're right. So I said we're going to go chronologically, and all of a sudden we're on Saturday afternoon. But so we got down there on Thursday, basically got rolling on Thursday. Went and picked up my bibs at the expo. Super just easy this time. Wasn't a lot of crowds. Lots of space at both the vendor area and also the bib pickup area. Super efficient. No problems. Best part about the expo was that Sprinkles was giving away free mini cupcakes as samples and letting you know that if you went back after the races and took your bib or your medal, you got buy one, get one free cupcakes, which we took advantage of later in the trip. So always nice when they're, you know, giving you a cupcake on the way out of the expo. It reminds you of why you're running, actually. So, and not a bad deal there. So, Hannah, when did you arrive? I can't remember. You and your mom came down before your dad, correct? And took Magical Express.
We did. We did. This was my mom's very first time on the Magical Express. And I have many pictures documenting her not so satisfied with the entire experience. But we came down Thursday night. So we were there just for one quick night. We took Magical Express over to Art of Animation, another value resort for mom, because, you know, that's where the foresters go.
How did she handle it, the Magical Express? Like, I know you said not well, but I would like more details.
Honestly, just a great thing, just because this is her very first time, and I've done it a couple times, so I was fairly used to the whole thing. And we're walking down, 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 you know, forever, because Magical Express yeah. is way at the very end. And she looks at me, and she's like, are the lines ever actually this long? I'm like, yes.
Yeah, they are. Yes, they
are. We are here at a very weird time. You know, typically there are actual lines. She's like, well, they better not wait for the bus to get all full because we have to go.
That's funny. That's Pam Forrester's life. That's funny.
Wow. Yeah. So this funny. Is what happens when we don't rent a car.
So yeah, you guys are frequent. You'll be over at the Enterprise counter, I'm sure. All right, so I stayed at All-Star Sports. Let me just tell you, I hadn't been to an All-Star Resort in quite a while because we had stayed at Art of Animation. We'd stayed at Pop Century when we went to the Values. And then we've been doing a lot of the moderates lately, Coronado and Riverside especially. But I'll tell you what, you know what, for the rate we got at All-Star Sports for the marathon or for the race weekend, we had a nice room. We got a preferred room in the Touchdown building over there, Building 10, kind of centrally located, really nice for transportation, also in the center of the resort. This room, other than the fact that it had double beds, which, you know, we only have a queen bed at our house, so it's not that much smaller. And let me tell you, over race weekend, and when you have so many friends down there and you're going so hard, you don't care. I would have slept on a bed of nails and I'd have been fine. But you know what? The bed was really firm, but I like a firm bed because of I have, you know, bad back. I thought it was great. And you know what? You shower, you get ready. It's not the biggest room in the world. There were four of us, but we made it happen. We made it work. And looking back, I'm glad I didn't splurge on a moderate or a deluxe, just for the fact that we were never, ever in the room, you know, except to sleep maybe 4 to 5 hours each night, grab a shower, and get out of there. So it really fit the bill well. And I'll tell you what, Mallory was excited to be there. It's still fun with the Touchdown area, the Hoops Hotel area, the surfing area, you know, it's fun. It's definitely a Disney vibe. So I would really not steer anybody away from the All-Stars, especially if you have kids. It was a lot of fun and I'll be back. I mean, I was really, really impressed with that. So Hannah, I know you guys stayed Art of Animation. We talked about that the first night, but give it just a quick thought on your stay. I think you guys were at Yacht Club for the rest of the weekend.
We were, and I do see your point, especially for marathon or any type of race weekend, because you are just going from place to place to place. I still can't believe that it's not still Thursday, because it feels like it went by so fast.
Yeah,
yes.
But on the other side of the coin, we were at Yacht Club, so we could walk to everything that was going on in Epcot. There was food and wine as well, so we spent every day at Epcot. All the things were happening at Epcot, so it was really convenient. Even for when we were there for the half marathon, when we were cheering everyone, we got to walk through the International Gateway. We didn't have to deal with trying to get our car to the very front of Epcot to try to cheer everyone. We just walked on over. So it really does make an excellent time saver, not having to depend on any type of other transportation when you're just trying to get to a spot to cheer for everyone.
And that's kind of why I'm going with a split stay for marathon weekend. We're going to be down there a little bit longer just because of how the Christmas break lands in our district, that we're going to be off anyway, so we're going down early. So we're staying at Pop Century to save some money until marathon weekend officially starts on January 4th. And then we're moving over with that group rate to the boardwalk, which I did because it's going to make, just like you said, it's going to make it logistically easier for my girls to cheer and for Paige and I to get where we need to be for the races, because it is kind of, centralized around the Epcot area. So you're right. I mean, it does make it logistically a lot better if you're in an Epcot area resort for the race weekends, especially for these. So good point there. All right. So, Ricky, let's talk about when you got down there. I know you were staying off site at the Casey Hotel, your brother's hotel.
Correct.
There. So how were things for you when you got there?
It was good. You know, we've gotten this down to a science where we leave after, you know, we get off work on whatever day it is, whether it's a Thursday or a Friday. And we've gotten really skilled at these 3 to 4 day weekends. And we just drive straight down. When you hit Florida, it does get a little rough because you're like, oh gosh, I have 3 more hours to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's the worst.
But it's not really the first hour that's the worst, and it's not the third hour that's the worst. It's past
It's like past Ocala. It's that area.
Yeah, it's that second hour that's really the worst, because you know that you're so close, but you still have to get to 91, and you're just like, oh man, I just really want to get there. So that's the rough part. But after that, I mean, once you hit the turnpike, you're good. So, you know, I make pretty good time. Which is why I drive, and not Brian, because Brian drives like an old woman. But no, he really does. He drives like an old lady.
You mean Eugene?
Eugene drives like an old lady.
that sounds like it could happen. All right, go ahead.
Yes, it does. Yes. So, but we usually get in about 12:30, 1 in the morning, and it's not so bad. But, you know, and of course, my brother, you know, we stayed at his place, which is very nice that he lets me stay with him for free. But I have to sleep on a couch or an air mattress, so that's not so bad. But this time he was not there, so I actually slept in his bed.
That works.
He put on new sheets, so that was okay. I was all right with it, but yeah. It was a little more comfy than the couch this time, or the air mattress. But we usually do that. Now, marathon weekend, because we have to get up, so like we are sleeping so sporadically, we were actually staying at the Hyatt. But for these quick little 3-day weekends like this, we usually just stay with my brother.
All right. So for those folks who don't know how the Wine and Dine race weekend worked this year, all the races were in the morning. They had a 5K race at Animal Kingdom. It started at 6:30 in the morning on Friday, and then on Saturday you had the inaugural 10K, which started at Epcot, went around the boardwalk area, and finished back at Epcot. That started 5:30 a.m. on Saturday, which was that was my favorite race of the weekend, to be honest. And then you had the half marathon, which was moved to a morning race on Sunday, that again started at Epcot, went down to Animal Kingdom, past the Waste Treatment Center there on Bear Creek. And out to Floridian Way, or out towards, not Floridian Way, but out by the golf courses, out by that gas station, and back down World Drive, back to Epcot. So that's kind of how that went. I will say the 5K was a lot of fun. We did that as a big group, as, you know, we kind of dressed as Santa, reindeer, and elves, big group of us, and the lizards. And a huge shout out to Jocelyn for the great costumes, and for many, many other things this past weekend. So many of our ADRs wouldn't have happened. Our special dessert party, which we'll talk about in a second, wouldn't have happened. It was just, she did so much for this podcast group that made this weekend special behind the scenes, that I don't think anybody can realize how important she is to our group and getting everything coordinated.
Thank you, Jocelyn, for everything.
I mean, so
100%.
Awesome. 100%.
She makes this so much easier, because as we all know, we don't plan our own vacation.
No, we do not. No.
Exactly.
We just show up.
But, you know, I just want to talk about the races. Then I want to talk about Give Kids the World, because we got a chance to go over there. But the races in general, I will say, were great. You know, this year we had good weather. It wasn't too hot. It was a little bit hot on Sunday for the half marathon. But, I mean, it's going to be hot. It's Florida. The sun was out, and it kind of – I got a little cooked, I think, about halfway through the half marathon. And thanks to our lizards, they got me to the finish line. I didn't think for a while there, I didn't know if I was going to make it, especially at mile 12 when I'm passing Jay, my good buddy, and he's taking pictures. And then I look up and I'm behind a guy that has the Cubs W flag flying around him. Again, back to the Cubs. You know, they're trying to kill me. I thought I was going to die, and especially I saw that, I was like, am I hallucinating? I'm losing. Anyway, so yeah, they got me in. A special shout out to Scott and Phil. You guys are friends forever, because you're just, you don't leave a lizard behind, and that's the second time those guys have done that with me over the past year. I got to get this stuff figured out. I can run it home. I don't know what happened. I guess it's I don't know. I got to drink more water or something. But anyway, so I appreciate that, and all of our lizards who made this weekend incredibly fun. But the races I thought were great. I will say about the 5K, let me tell you, those folks that are signed up for a Disney 5K in the future, because I know that's kind of the first race for a lot of folks who are nervous about getting into the Run Disney universe and getting your first taste of a Run Disney event. They're so casual and they're so fun. There's lots of costumes. There's lots of goofing off. You're not really timed. You're not going to get swept. But I'll tell you what, the one thing I remember, and we've been talking about since the 5K on Friday, is that medal they gave out this year was awesome.
That was an awesome medal.
That was so cool.
It was, for one thing, the ribbon itself had this, because it's Mickey's Merry 5K or something. It's a Christmas theme or a holiday theme there with Mickey Mouse. But the medal itself, no kidding, it's bigger than my Dopey medal, and it's a metal medal. It's a full-on medal. It's, I mean, it's something to be proud of, which you should be, any of them that you earn, whether you walk, run, or whatever, you cross that line. But I'll say what, kudos to Run Disney for that. Of course, you're paying a bajillion dollars for a 5K, so you should get this. But Hannah, you were hearing good things about the medal too. I mean, I was super impressed with it.
Yeah, because I did run a 5K way back when. I don't even know how many years ago now. But I was kind of ripped. I felt a little ripped because why did I get this rubber medal? I want a real one. And so now I see that they're finally listening to everyone who, you know, just because you run a 5K doesn't mean you shouldn't get a real medal.
Yeah, it's the, you're going to get
still
the real
finish
deal.
Line.
That's
you
it.
You still did the training. You still put in the effort. You know,
still paid the money.
Yeah.
You still paid the money? Yes, exactly.
That's it. Beans was a great Santa Claus. Just got to throw that in. Beans did 5K. I still can't get over that. Beans, that's if awesome. You don't know, you have to look at the pictures, and she's just the cutest thing you'll ever see. So if you see any of our pictures, she's in there. She was Santa leading the way. All right, so let's...
Beans was faster than most of the kids around her.
Beans beat me. I'll tell you what, Beans beat me. So that's all I got to say. So, and then, like I said, the 10K and a half were a lot of fun. Just kind of your typical Run Disney races. Lots of great costumes. But the environment of our lizards, when we get together in the corrals at Bag Check L area before the races, it's always just so many smiles and laughs and stories. The time flies by, even though you're standing out in the middle of a parking lot at 4 a.m. And a lot of times you're freezing, so get ready for that in January. But nothing better than sharing in the misery with so many friends that you get to catch up with, because we all train, we all take selfies, we all share in our victories and our defeats on our training runs. But when we get to get together like we do at these events, and like Lonnie's photobombing everybody's selfies, and Rick's telling me all his stories of his training and his incredible journey he's been on in the last year, and just so many, I got goosebumps going to the corrals, to be honest, every day, because I got to see just really our group is just the best of what you can expect out of a team. I mean, it's 100% a team, and it almost brings a tear to my eye. Just think about it, because you guys are so special, and it's just so cool being a part of this, being a member of this team. Now, I did want to, speaking of a team, the whole podcast family got together as a team over the past year, but especially back on July 31st for the 12-hour live show. And we raised about $29,000 that day. And then, Ricky, do you want to take the story from here? Because we had an opportunity to step up to the plate just a little bit more before we headed down to Give Kids the World for marathon, or for Wine and Dine Weekend.
Yeah, so I was contacted by my connection at Give Kids the World. And she had said, you know, look, you are so, so, so close to $30,000. I think at that point we were a little over $6,000 or so shy of it.
$600.
Sorry. And she was like, you know, it would be really great. This is the 30th anniversary of Give Kids the World. It would be really great if you guys could raise $30,000 and we could surprise Pam Landworth from Give Kids the World that we had done this. So I said, you know, I don't know if I'll be able to do it, but I will put out the call and see if that is something that we could potentially do. And, you know, you lizards are freaking amazing. And
the whole podcast family is everybody.
Overall, I mean, everybody, I put it out there on both of the feeds and everybody just totally backed it up. And we did it. We hit 30,000. Actually, our new grand total is $30,237. So it's so incredible. And I am working on it. We still need to choose the winner as well.
Yes.
And I'm working on that right now. Because we decided that in order to get the $30,000, we would put everybody's name in a hat and a winner would be chosen and get to do a podcast with us. So I will let you know who the winner is at the end of this episode.
All right. Sounds great. So Hannah, was this your first time at the Village?
It was. And I just want to say I was completely blown away, but just how amazing, how much effort they put into just making these kids feel just so special. And it's just so, it's, you can't even describe it. It's just so truly amazing. I can't wait. I know my mom and I are planning to volunteer there on one of our next trips. We're very excited.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I was, I shied away from it for years and years because I was scared that you would see, you know, illness, you would see sadness, you would see just those things that, you know, break your heart when you see them on TV or even in education. We have students in our class that, you know, I've been teaching for 18 years. I've had students with severe disabilities where, you know, it was touch and go whether they would be with us, you know, 5 years down the line or so forth. And so we were doing what we could. But you know what? While you know that's in the back of your mind that these families and these kids are, you know, have huge struggles in front of them, what you saw was joy. You saw joy in the kids. You saw joy in the siblings and the parents. But you also saw a lot of joy, especially in the volunteers that were there. And I don't know, you guys were probably in that same room with me, and I'll share the story, then we'll move on to other things, because we do talk about the village a lot, but I think it needs to be said that there was a couple there, and one of them's name was Papa Bear, and he was kind of a big guy there with the big beard, almost looked like Santa Claus, but had a shirt on, said, "I'm Papa Bear, ask me a question," or something. It was awesome. And then I didn't even know, but the awesome lady who was in the next room over there was working in the room where you can see your star, where kids make their wish and leave their mark on the place.
Stellar.
And she's over there doing that. And I didn't realize they're a couple, a husband and wife, and that their granddaughter had been a wish child and had come down there, and she had lost her vision, but she still got to make the trip, and she had a brain tumor, but unfortunately did pass. But now what they do every year for their family vacation is a couple is volunteer at the world at Give Kids the World. And it was just, she gave us her story, and to see people that do that, I mean, they were going to leave, they were leaving a mark that their granddaughter left on their heart, and they're making good in the world in, you know, in remembrance of her granddaughter. And you see that all over the village, and they were just so good. Papa Bear had this pillow for, awesome. Yeah. Papa Bear was leading that one kid through the tree where you get the pillow. And
I was just enthralled
so
watching.
Awesome. Yeah. It was amazing.
They really take their time to make sure that those kids don't feel like they're different. You know, they don't, that child at that moment doesn't feel like they're suffering from X, Y, or Z thing in their life. They just feel like a kid that's on a really awesome vacation with these people that are just pouring their hearts out to make sure that they feel as much joy and happiness there than they'll ever feel.
So true. So much fun. Ice cream for breakfast every day and a new holiday to celebrate every night of the week. So either that or, you know, talent show. So amazing place. And again, the volunteers there are called Angels. I 100% agree. So always, if you ever get a chance, do support Give Kids the World, whether it's through our podcast, I don't care, whatever you do, just give them some love because they're definitely spreading the good here on the earth. All right. So let's talk about some of the Disney stuff. Let's just hop around here. So Ricky, what was your best meal you had over the past weekend? What, you know, did you stop and have something that surprised you? Anything like that?
Yeah. So I, you know, honestly, I will say that, while Brian and I did enjoy our dinner at Olivia's, which, was so fantastic. We had the prime rib. I had the prime rib. Oh, it's so good. Oh my goodness. But honestly, I think my best meal was a Garden Grill for breakfast. I was not expecting that. And it wasn't just because of the characters who were awesome. you know, it was because I really thought the food was so fantastic. So the food at Garden Grill is served family style. And Garden Grill, for those who don't know, is at Epcot in the Land Pavilion. And it is, like I said, a character meal. And they bring you first a bowl of fruit, which is so fresh, and then this incredible cinnamon roll bake type thing. And oh my goodness, I just, it was so good. I know it was just like probably, you know, cinnamon rolls all baked together, but it was delightful and so delicious. And then they brought out this big platter, this tray of all the other fixins. So that included, of course, your traditional Mickey waffles, which were delicious. Then you had eggs, which were, they were actually eggs, I think. They weren't, you know, like the traditional Disney eggs that you get. They had bacon, which was the way I like it, which was crispy. And then I swear, I kid you not, I do not like tater tots very often. I do not get them very often. I don't eat them very often.
These tater tots were the best thing I've had in a long time. They were so crispy and crunchy and just perfect. They weren't mushy. They were amazing. I was craving these tater tots earlier this week. Well, I mean, I was like, I really just want some tater tots. I almost went to the store to buy a bag of tater tots to make tater tots and just like put them in the oven for a good long time. That's how good these tater tots were, and I don't ever eat them. So I loved the Garden Grill breakfast. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I'll back you up on the tater tots. The three tater tots I had for
the
breakfast
three tater
were
tots
awesome.
That you had. I'm sorry you didn't get to enjoy the meal. It was I'm really so good, bummed. Mike.
That was my kind of food there, and I was just so still sick from the half marathon. I actually took a nap out in the middle of the
you
Land
did.
Pavilion. I didn't care.
We have photographic evidence.
I'm sure you do. Happened. Yeah, I'm sure you yes. do. But you know what? When Paige said that was a great meal because it wasn't all crazy, you know, fancy. And so when Paige gives compliments to a meal, that's something to be said.
This is true. Very true. All
right. So, Hannah, what do you have as maybe your best meal of the trip?
I am going to say the new and improved flying fish. I love the new look of it. I think that it looks very clean, but it still has some throwbacks to how it used to be. It has the same kind of vibe in it. And I had the filet mignon there, and we weren't sure if it was going to be like it was before, but it has the sauce all over it and the vegetables on it. Like, if I could lick that plate with that sauce on it, I would. Like, there was no shame going on at that table. It was the most divine thing I had all weekend. It was so yummy.
I will say I went to the Boathouse for the first time too during this trip, and we went there for an early lunch, or kind of just a regular lunchtime, and the service was kind of slow. We were, you know, wasn't a full place. We sat outside. It was a beautiful day, and Pam ordered the filet mignon sliders, which you get two, and the fries there are incredible. Oh man, I
yes,
love the fries.
They're amazing French fries.
Those
and again,
fries were
I don't
good.
Eat French fries. So,
those, they were yeah. good. And then I had just the regular cheeseburger. It wasn't like the big triple something decker deal. It was just like the cheeseburger, you know. But I will say the prices there are high, you know, for hamburger, you know, for a couple sliders and in that. But the cheeseburger, man, was it good. It was. Because I guess they're owned by a big, like...
They're owned by Landry's.
Yeah, big Chicago steakhouse place, I think.
They're owned by Landry's. They're owned by the same people who own T-Rex and Rainforest.
Oh, whatever. They got some good hamburger meat there. So it was really, really good, man. It tasted great. Plus, we're sitting outside on the dock, and it was just a beautiful day. I mean, just a gorgeous view of Disney Springs, watching people go in and out on the amphicars, which was a lot of fun. Just a really good meal. Expensive, but a good meal. You know, and you got to splurge when you're at Disney. So, Ricky, looking back on the weekend, any other stories you want to share? You know, maybe something you did that was special that would maybe help folks that are heading down here pretty soon.
I went to Halloween Horror Night. No.
Yeah, we're not. And the Cubs won the World Series, too, so go ahead.
No, you know, I will just briefly mention, I did go to Halloween Horror Nights. It was, like I said, it was my first time ever at Halloween Horror Nights for a big chicken. It is actually okay. I will say, it is definitely a grown-up experience. You don't want to bring your children there. I would definitely not bring anyone younger than 13. It's certainly intense. It was a lot of fun. I had a really good time. The great thing is that you can get the scary in with like the scare zones and the shows and stuff like that. If you really don't want to, you know, actually go in the haunted houses, which I did not do because I don't do haunted houses. But the scare zones themselves were fantastically themed. Some of them were, you know, a little short, but that's okay for a chicken. That, you know, I had no problem with that. But, you know, I just kept my eye. I did really well. You know, I kept my eyes on the performers to make sure that none of them, you know, really got me. There were, you know, a few people out there with chainsaws and stuff like that, and they were definitely scaring the bejeebus out of a bunch of people, you know, sneaking up behind them. But as long as you keep your eye on the performers, you're usually okay, I will say. I had a blast. It was so much fun. The rides are actually open as well. So you can go do the rides if you're like either, you know, all scared out and want to, you know, relax for a little bit or, you know, you're just there for the fun of it, whatever. You know, I did pretty much all of them that were open. and I had a great time. So I got to, you know, really, it was really great as I got to explore Harry Potter really, really pretty in depth, because, you know, the park was empty for the most part, except for, you know, a few people mingling around the Harry Potter area. But most of them were out in the actual, you know, haunted houses and stuff like that. So it was really great to get to experience Harry Potter without any real, you know, any real lines or any real, you know, people clamoring for this or that or whatever. So that was really good. I really enjoyed it. Also really enjoyed our experience with Food and Wine this year, or this time as well. Tried a few different things that hadn't tried this, the previous time. I think that the winner for Brian and I was probably, I know he really liked the Jamaican beef little pocket thing. He really enjoyed that. It kind of tasted like meatloaf, right, Hannah? I think that's what we came up with.
It was so much. It was like this teeny tiny meatloaf that was in this little carby goodness coating, and I was such a fan.
It was very good. And then the other thing that I really loved was the peanut butter mousse this time. So I think that those were two very good things from Finn Wine this time out.
I'm sitting here just cracking up because I'm thinking, what if? Okay, because I'm always like a what if guy, you know, like, you know, what if we started a podcast? You know, what'll happen? So we did that, you know, started a radio station, all that good stuff. But what if somehow, because of how the corporate environment is, someday down the road, Universal and Disney get together for a Halloween event? Okay, so it's Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Horror Nights. And like, okay, so Mickey's like handing out candy. Good to see you, pal. And he's like handing out these Kit Kats and stuff. And all of a sudden, Goofy comes around the corner, wah, with a chainsaw and scares you to death.
With a decapitated head and a chainsaw. Yeah, exactly. That's a totally different experience, let me just say. Yeah.
I was just picturing
what
that.
What age group would that be for?
That would be for any good age group. Let's just... I would spar everyone for life. Yeah.
Oh, that would be so funny. That'd be a good mashup. That'd be something, boy. I think the Disney community would be fired up a little bit.
Oh, I think they'd be very angry. Absolutely. That would not go well. No.
Could you see Goofy chasing people down Main Street with his chainsaw and like a Jason mask? Oh, man.
He's so wrong. Oh, my goodness.
That would be so right. Anyway.
I think that transition would just be so smooth. I don't know what you were talking
about. Yeah. Yeah.
This is what happens when Pam's not here. Anyway.
Oh yeah.
All right. So. Yeah.
No. But can we also? I don't want to. Like. I know, Hannah, it's your turn. But I also want to send a huge shout out to Jocelyn again.
Yes.
For that dessert party that she helped to put together. It was fantastic. We had a great time. It was so great to see all the listeners. A ton of you showed up. I was just like, whoa. The desserts were fantastic. My favorite was the little mini cannoli. Also, those were not mini cronuts. Those were full-size cronuts.
Say, they were
I don't
big.
Know if anybody was kidding. Those were full-size cronuts. So, you know, I thought it was a fantastic experience. Had a great time getting to hang out with our friends, which was really what the whole thing was about. You know, it was really about getting to hang out with everybody, meet everybody, mix and mingle with each other. And that's what the whole event was about. So, you know, yeah, the desserts were great, but it was really about the friendship.
Yeah. And thanks a lot to everybody who came out, because we know it was not a cheap proposition. We understand that. And, you know, that was as low as we could get it with Disney. Disney just has some high pricing when it comes to private events, but we want to have an opportunity to get to people together.
Yes.
Yeah. So we honestly did the best we could, and we know it was a sacrifice. So truly, we thank you for coming out and supporting that. So we really do kind of understand all that stuff. So it was a great night. Got to see Wishes all together there. And then, it, you know, we got a big rainstorm right after that, like out of nowhere, it started pouring.
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy.
So bizarre.
It was so
just,
weird.
Like, pouring.
But the only time it rained all weekend, so you can't complain.
Yeah.
You know, we were covered.
It was.
So, Hannah, anything else you can remember, like a memory, something that sticks out from the weekend?
I just want to ask Ricky, what did she think she was leaving me to talk about after she took all the events
that's
that
what
we
she
all
does.
Did
yeah,
together?
She that's what she does.
I'm sorry.
I was like, just don't talk about the dessert party. That's
why. No, she didn't. Oh, man. Well, what did you think of the dessert party, though, Hannah? You can share your thoughts.
I just thought really the whole weekend was awesome, but seriously, so many props to Jocelyn because she made all of that happen. And it was so amazing just to see people that I haven't even seen in a few years. They just like popped out of nowhere. I thought it was really awesome to see people like Masayo again. It was just so amazing to see how big our community is. Sometimes you forget, you know, you think back to like that, one of those very first, like the treehouse meet. It just starts to be like, oh my gosh, okay, this weird thing that my mom does in her basement, like people actually listen to it. And it's just one of those things where it, again, it kind of took you off guard a little bit. You're like, oh wow, there are so many of us that just really love and appreciate. And we've had such this amazing community build up around this that it's really cool to see everyone in person every once in a while.
Oh, so true. And thanks to everybody who came up and said hello. I mean, I love that when we're in the parks and you come up and just say, hey, are you Mike? You know, I love that. I love getting to meet our listeners, and especially right outside of Garden Grill there, you know, got to meet, and I'm so terrible with names,
but people.
Yeah, congratulations to our honeymooning couple who came by and got a picture, and also our friend from the UK with the cutest baby in the world there that I got to kind of scare, and then she smiled, or she smiled at me real quick. So it was really cool. I mean, it's just it's incredible that you take time out of your vacations to say hello, and we got that all weekend long. Mm-hmm. Now I did want to mention that some of the advice that we've been given for years and years here on the podcast is sage advice. It is great advice, and it is not to go to the Food and Wine Festival on the weekends. So I will tell you, we were there on Saturday after the 10K. We decided to have lunch, a bunch of us, at Via Napoli. Now, there were kind of two groups that day that were going to Via Napoli. Some of the listeners, like the Shine Golds and so forth, they went a little bit earlier. We had more of a like late lunch, early dinner type thing around 4. Phil shoots me a text like, it is a nut house in here. Like, before we got in, they were coming out because we were over at, I forget where we were. We were Yacht Club.
Haley's birthday.
Oh, we were Haley's birthday. Okay, so yeah, we were all over the place. And I'm like, yeah, okay, it's nuts. It's Food and Wine. I am not kidding. Like, there was a line to get in the International Gateway. Now, a line to get in the International Gateway, the back door to Epcot, like, so long. And once you got in there, it looked like New Year's Eve. I took some pictures, so look at my Instagram at BRGuestMike. I mean, it was the World Showcase. That whole throughway, the whole promenade was just wall-to-wall people all the way around. Now, Future World wasn't as bad because, of course, it's Food and Wine Festival. But I mean, it was a nut house in World Showcase. I'm just telling you, if you get the chance to go down during Food and Wine next year, plan some days during the week and go right at 11 o'clock because that's how you can enjoy it. I didn't get one item from a Food and Wine booth this year, even though I was there during Food and Wine. It's because we went and ate at restaurants. Like, when you eat at Via Napoli, you're so full afterwards. You know what I'm saying? Like, we went to, had ice cream at, you know, Ample Hills and so forth. So, I mean, it's my fault. But like we were saying, is we were kind of trying to snake our way out of Epcot on Saturday night. And as I was snaking my way up to the Land Pavilion through all of World Showcase to get Ricky's bib to run the race. But anyway,
Brian ran. Brian ran.
I'm just saying.
At least somebody ran.
It took 2 years off my life to try to get up there, Ricky. I'm just saying.
Brian
I almost died.
Ran.
Okay,
Brian
so anyway.
Ran. He has his medal. Okay, it's good. Up That's on the, good. Okay, it's good. On our medal rack.
Perfect.
It's fine. Somebody ran the race.
Okay, good. Let me just say, though, that it is very important that if you want to go to Food and Wine and you want to sample it and you want to see it like they show on the Disney planning videos, go during the middle of a week if possible. Go right at 11 o'clock and you can go around and sample as much as you want. However, if you go on a weekend over Food and Wine Festival, because it's getting so popular, especially as beautiful as the weather was, I think it really brought the locals out because it was gorgeous this weekend.
And it was almost the last weekend.
And
too.
It was almost the last weekend. You're right.
And
this
it was
weekend
wine
is
nine.
It.
And
it was
that
race.
Brings
it,
a lot.
It was, yeah, it was like a triple whammy. It was like a quadruple whammy. Yeah. But the thing was, you almost had to, like we were saying, you'd have almost had to get your first item, whether it was like a beer, a drink, or a snack, a food, and then immediately get in the next line and snack while you're waiting in line for the second thing, and then keep basically virtually stand in a line the whole time. I mean, that's the only way. Like, if you would have gone there hungry and said, you know what, it's Food and Wine Festival this Saturday night, let's just kind of snack around the world, you would have starved by the time you, or you would have just gone to the first booth that had a short line and just kind of found something you like. So I know, Hannah, you've been there on New Year's Eve with us. I mean, it's just an absolute madhouse. We're going again this year. I'm crazy. But what did you think? I mean, did it seem like way more crowded than any of the other Wine and Dine weekends that we've been to?
It really did seem fairly crowded, but I will note that I did brave some of the lines, and they move through you so quickly. Like, they get you in and out as fast as they can. They have like 4 people at each booth, so they are trying their hardest to get you in and out. So if you do choose to brave the lines, You're not gonna super starve. You're just gonna starve a little bit. And I just want to bring back, because you said that, you know, after Via Napoli and things like that, you're too full to eat. Well, we remember after Captain's Grill, we went to Epcot and we turned around and my dad already has some pork belly and a beard.
Yes, he did.
So the whole full factor, it's not a complete deterrent onto, oh, that looks good and it's food and wine, you know, let's just do it.
That's true. He took one for the team.
You can still eat.
Yeah, he did. He did. And Captain's Grill, again, a good breakfast. Not the best service that day, but it comes and goes sometimes.
But we can have a conversation about it.
Yes, we can. We can have a conversation to get things straightened up when it comes to splitting up some checks, I would say. But yeah, it was good. They have that buffet, which is really nice, but they also have some interesting offerings. I know that David and Sarah got some grits. Or what would you get, Hannah?
I went for the buffet because Mickey Waffles and me, we have a special relationship.
And they have great little mini muffins. Whew, they're so good.
I will say, because that is one of my favorite places to go, they have an amazing chocolate waffle. It is so good. So, so yummy. Yes. Chocolate waffle with espresso mascarpone. Oh, my God. So good.
Yeah, that's what Paige had, I think, the chocolate chip waffle. So. She'd like that. All right. So, you know, run a little long here, but it was a great weekend and it's all because of friends. I mean, that's what this was all about. It wasn't about riding attractions. We did that every once in a while, but we spent more time just kind of all hanging out as a group, because the shame of it is, and this is, you know, kind of Mike's rant here, is that it's such a shame that we all live so far apart that we can't just get together on a Saturday night in the middle of the year, you know, just like we can with our friends locally, that, you know, it's time so precious down there when you get to see people that you talk to every day through social media, but you never get to be with in person, that when you're there, it really is. I mean, as special as the attractions are and the shows and all the experiences you can have, it boils down to time with friends, and it's precious down there. So I think that's why the weekends go so quickly, and it's all of a sudden Sunday night, and you got to kind of break up and head home. So, Ricky, anything else? And we'll get out here and let everybody get on with their weekends.
No, I think you're exactly right. You know, I think I was talking to Brian today, and I think that we did maybe at Disney, I will say, because we did a few more at Universal, but at Disney we did maybe 4 attractions the whole entire weekend, maybe, which is very unusual for us, I will say. You know, we usually do a bunch, everything that we possibly can fit in. You know, it was a crazy, crazy weekend, but it was so much fun. Again, like you said, the best part is getting to be with all your friends that you don't get to, you know, you talk to every day or, you know, one way or another, but here you actually get to be with them. So, you know, you during weekends like this. So while, you know, I think that's the best part, really, is just getting to be with people that you love and that you care about and don't get to see very often. And that's really the whole point of these type of weekends is that. And I love that.
All right. That's so true. And we're going to close out here. I see our great captain of the Lizards who got this all rolling for us. Mike Bankhead is in the Facebook Live chat. Just want to send a huge shout out. I know he had family obligations that kept him away from the race weekend. But, you know, without his insight and his courage and so much, you know, time that he has invested into this running family, this would not be possible. So I want to send a huge shout out to Mike. And also, we had many, many Lizards who completed either the first 5K of their careers or the first 10. And a lot of people did their first half marathon. So please do enjoy that. You're a half marathoner. You're a 5K. You are a runner. You're a walker. You got there. You got the courage to get out there and train, to walk, to sign up for that race. And I hope that it was everything you dreamed of, because I was so proud to be on your team and see you go through those things. Yeah, that's the best part about being a part of a team, is that when your teammates succeed and when your teammates have courage, it gives you the chance to become a better person. So it was a great weekend, a lot of great accomplishments, and I'm so proud of each and everybody. Wearing the Volt yellow or green, whatever we call it, the Lizards were well represented. And Rudy and Carissa both gave us shout-outs at the races. So that's something to be said, too. All right, so let's get out of here, and we'll be back again on Monday with a great trip report. But until then, don't forget today's show brought to you by Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. So when you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprizeadvisors.com/drew.baker. Also, we're brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time to plan the next Disney vacation, whether it's to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or sailing with the Disney Cruise Line, drop by themagicforless.com, check out all the great specials, and fill out that free no-obligation quote, and an agent will get back to you right away. And they're going to be with you throughout that trip to get you the best financial deal possible. But more importantly, they're going to be there every step of the way to make sure that you make that vacation as magical as it can be. You're a partnership. They're going to be there to advocate for you and help you just have the best vacation ever. Make every moment special. That's what it's all about. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And as always, we love iTunes and Stitcher reviews, so if you have a few minutes this weekend, drop by the iTunes store or Stitcher and leave us a rating and a review. We'd really, really appreciate that. And of course, Magical Mouse Radio, right there for you right now, magicalmouseradio.com. All right, Hannah, thanks a lot for sitting in with us this week. We really appreciate it. Hopefully your mom's having a good time. Are you kidding me? She's having a good time.
Right?
So keep it together. Keep it together there in Pittsburgh. But thanks for giving us your time, Hannah.
I hold down the fort while she, you know, does her fabulous international water life.
That's yes. It. The life of Pam Forrester, man. It's
true story.
You know, she came back to Earth with a little magical express ride, but she's again living the high life, so. No problems there. All right, well, it's time to let you get on with your weekend. Thanks again for checking in. Like I said, we'll be back again on Monday, and we appreciate it each and every time you download our show. We know that it takes a time investment, and we appreciate it. Hopefully you always enjoy the Disney talk we bring you. So for Hannah and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.